We do have Hal Gill on the line, former NHL defenseman and current Preds analyst, current nothing analyst, because nothing's happening. How's it going, Hal?
Good, guys. How you doing?
We're all right. We're hanging. Yet,
you're just going to start analyzing things from around the house?
Yeah.
Son running up the stairs. He's running up the stairs so fast. Oh, you got to love that form, running up the stairs.
That's basically where I'm at right now. Just trying to figure out my life and how I'm going to live it.
Dude, we hear you. We host a sports radio show 3 hours a week, 5 days a week. So yeah, we're figuring it out as we go along here. But I want to go back to yesterday. Just get a sense of what your day was like, because I'm sure, like us, you were following the events of the day before with the NBA and thinking about what was likely to happen. But you got to prepare as if there's a game, right?
Yeah, well, that was my thought. I saw NBA was done, and I figured the NHL would follow suit. But yeah, you never know. So I woke up and, you know, called my boss and said, "Hey, should I try to get an interview?" And then, you know, because the media was pushed back and we weren't allowed to talk to as many players and do the same thing we were. So I was going to try to get an interview, and then right after that, I got the notice that we're probably not going to do this anyway. There was no meetings, no availability. So we kind of just sat there in a holding pattern until it was official, but we kind of knew it was happening.
Yeah, you didn't do any interviews with players, but did you speak to any of the guys about how they were feeling, what they were going through?
Yeah, well, I was talking to a couple of them, and for the most part, everyone's just waiting the same way we were. I think no one's really been through this. You know, we don't know what to expect and how this works. So guys were just waiting. And, you know, we got on the plane and got on the bus and got out of Toronto and headed back to Nashville somewhere around 4 o'clock. We got on a bus. So, you know, we were just chatting with the guys, and, you know, it's kind of an empty feeling, I think, for the players. You know, you're in a playoff hunt, and then all of a sudden it's just a screeching halt. You know, we were talking about it. We've all been through those moments when you're waiting to see if a game gets canceled because of snow or ice or whatever the storm is. It's kind of like that, but then it's just final. You know, it's over. You know, there's no anything after it. And so, yeah, just talking, getting off the plane, the guys are just looking around. They're going, what do we do? You know, they're not supposed to go out and do anything. They're supposed to stay home. They have nothing to prepare for, which is bizarre for an NHL player. You usually, you know, you have like 2 weeks at the end of the season where you can kind of let loose. But other than that, you're always preparing for something. So this is weird for these guys. Yeah, weird, absolutely. For me, too. I'll say that.
Yeah, man, absolutely. All of us. It's an unprecedented thing that's happening in our lifetimes. And, yeah, if you're a player, you're ramping up for the Stanley Cup playoffs, as you said. This is the thing that you've been hunting for all year long. You're in a stretch run. You've got all of your competitive juices flowing. You're thinking about the games night in, night out, all the scenarios that are playing out in your mind. And then all of a sudden, yeah, you've got to place that somewhere. You got to put that somewhere. That's exceedingly difficult. Like, I was thinking about the kids in the NCAA tournament yesterday and how it's just, I can't get over how brutal it must be for seniors, guys who have played basketball their whole life, guys and girls who have played basketball their entire life, who know that they're not going on to the pros, that they have this one final moment on a big stage to decide how the ends of their careers are going to play out, and then all of a sudden it's ripped away from them. And you saw a lot of them who still really wanted to play in that tournament, and the NCAA finally ended up making the right call. Everyone's got to have everyone's going to have their lives turned upside down for the meantime. But do you think, had players been given the opportunity, that most of them would have wanted to play games without being in front of fans, or that this was the way that most guys wanted to see it play out?
I think if you asked most guys in the playoff run that are in it, they'd want to stay in it. And they'd want to play no matter what. Is there anyone happier than the Detroit Red Wings? I mean, like, yeah. I'm looking at them going, like, that's the best gift you could ever get. This is a miserable season, and you just want to check out and, you know, you're okay, go home. That's it. I think that's the difference that you're looking at. You know, you have to play a full schedule. And I was thinking about it, even if you did come back, like, what are the differences between, I'm sure the Predators, all those guys are going to go out and train. They're not supposed to be on the ice. They're not supposed to do anything with the team, but I'm sure those guys are going to start working out, because if it does come back around and they get to play, they have a chance to get in the playoffs and win. If I'm playing for the Detroit Red Wings, I'm pretty much checked out, yeah. Right? So it's a different mentality for each team, but it's such a bizarre thing. I'm not sure how you handle that.
Yeah, no, that's what I wanted to go to next. Is like, yeah, because you mentioned, hey, nobody's supposed to be going to gyms right now. We know about the possible contamination of gym equipment. And yeah, they're probably not supposed to go into arenas or ice facilities either. And maybe some guys will either way. And we don't know how long this thing is going to last. And there's a difference between being in shape and being in game shape too, Hal. Like if they pick up the phone and they say, you know, in a month, they're like, all right, we got 3 days. We're back on. We're back on tomorrow. Like that doesn't seem feasible either, does it?
No. And that's what I mean. Like if you... That's the difference. I think if you are a team that's on the bubble, you're still engaged. You're still thinking, if we get back around here, we got to be ready. We got to get back into this. I think there's a different level that you're at, as opposed to if you're the LA Kings and you're, I'm going to go sit on the beach and surf. That's a whole different story. You have a totally different mindset. So, I don't know how to play this out. I would need, for me personally, when I was playing, I would need, if I was a week down, I'd need at least 3 days to get back into it. And for every week, I'd say you'd have to add another day. So if it's 2 weeks, that would be 4 or 5 days that I would need on the ice to get going. So if it is 3 weeks, then that makes it another week. So I don't know. I think this is something that the NHL has to be really careful with, and the PA has to be careful with, because the last thing you want is guys getting hurt when you try to come back. But first and foremost, I think it's about, I think the NHL.
Seems like we lost. Oh, you there? No, I hear you, Hal.
We just have to be smart about it.
Yeah, there we go.
Oh, did you lose me?
Yeah, no, we got you.
Just for a second.
But I wasn't saying anything good anyway.
So. No, but it's why the NHL, we can't really compare it to the NBA. Adam Silver was out
and
there.
How they do this.
Yeah, it's just that the NBA, you can't compare them, because those guys are still going to be able to have a hoop at their place, a facility that they'll be able to go to. They can still stay in game shape. They can still work on their ball handling, their shooting, without being at an arena, without being at a rink. And it's getting hotter. It's harder for guys to get in groups. You can still work out as an NBA player by yourself and work on your skills. It's harder to do it as an NHL guy. Like, you can't just be Alex Ovechkin standing in your driveway taking slap shots in front of your kid and then step back out on the ice. You've got to be skating. You've got to be with your group. And I don't think that's going to be happening in the near future. So, yeah, there's going to be a tougher vamping up process for the players, and it's going to make it a lot harder. It's why the timelines are so different. It's why I think the NBA season will come back. I'm definitely not sure that we can speak in the same way about the NHL.
It's a different beast altogether. And I think the last thing you want is someone injured. If you get all these players coming back and all of a sudden everyone's groin start popping all over the place. That's the last thing you want.
That sounds painful.
I just think they have to be careful. And the PA is always working closely with the NHL and protecting the players. So I assume they'll come up with something that's works for everyone.
So when we originally wanted to talk to you, it was about setting up a hockey game and about your time in Toronto. And that changed really quickly over 24 hours. But, man, this season here in this city has been, even for Toronto standards, pretty wild from a media and fan standpoint. And now it's only changed and amplified because of social media, right? Everyone's got an opinion. Everyone's really loud. There's all these different people with a platform. Yeah. And the noise in this city and around this team, yeah, man, it's been deafening. And you hear this a lot from guys. You hear them a lot from them privately, too, the idea of, well, you don't want to play in Toronto because if you suck at practice, it's a story. If you suck early in the season, it's a story. You're someone who did sign here. And I wonder what kind of consideration that element had in Toronto for you.
It's part of the thing. Right? You know, everyone in the NHL always says, if you ever won a cup in Toronto, you wouldn't have to pay for a thing. You wouldn't have to do a thing. You'd be free and clear for the rest of your life. And the excitement that run would be to win the cup in Toronto would be the best thing that ever happened. I just think if you want all that fun, if you want all that notoriety, you're going to have to take the downside too. You know, if you're not good, they're going to call you out on it and they're going to pickpile on it. And that's the problem with Toronto for the most part, is there's a lot of people that aren't paying attention, but because it's Toronto, they feel like they should pay attention. So they're not paying attention, but then all of a sudden they jump on top and they say, that guy sucks. And they're, you know, this guy's the worst. And they really haven't paid attention. And that's what bothers me about Toronto, is just this sheer mass of people that are there that feel like they have to have an opinion when they really don't. Mm. And so they just kind of take their buddy's opinion. But, I think you have to go out and play your game and enjoy the ups with the downs. You know, I mean, that's what Toronto is all about. It's, you have the passion there, you have the people that are fired up about it. You're going to expect that when you're down, they're going to kick you. And when you're up, they're going to lift you up. So, that's just part of the game.
I imagine there's, like, you've got elephant skin, Hal, because then you signed in Montreal too. Like, there must be nothing that can get through to you.
Yeah.
Well, coming from Boston, going to Montreal, did I really even care what those guys thought of me?
Right.
You know, like, whatever. You know, I was like, all right, this is my rivalry, you know, but, funny enough, I didn't really care what the media or the fans thought, and ended up really falling in love with the fans, and I thought they were awesome in Montreal, and I feel like they were so in tune with every game. It was exciting for me to, like, make a poke check and they cheer. You know, that was what got me going up there. They were dialed in, and so that made that fun. But yeah, those two markets, they're not easy, but if you do all right there and you have some fun with it, then you can enjoy it.
Did you have guys gravitate towards you, though, because you were like that? Because I don't think that's the majority of people, and I know that a lot of athletes say they don't read the paper or they don't read the tweets or they don't pay attention to the media, but yeah, it genuinely sounds like, based on your track record, that you didn't do that. Did you have guys coming up to you basically asking you for advice?
No, you know what? In Toronto, I found, right when I got there, I found that guys would kind of deflect. And, you know, I don't want to say we had a great team, but I feel like a lot of guys didn't want to talk about it, but they wanted to say, like, I had my guy. It was kind of like, you know, I after the post-game interview, you're saying, well, that was, it wasn't really me. It was, you know, it's this and that, and kind of deflecting. And I didn't like that. It didn't sit well with me. And so I think it was about halfway through the season where I was like, yeah, I messed up. And, but you know, in Toronto, if you say you mess up, if you own something, then everyone's going to say, yeah, you messed up. He's the worst. That's his fault. And they'll agree with you. And so I think I took that level of honesty and kind of just went with it. Mm-hmm. I found it a lot easier on me. But in the end, it was harder for me not to care, you know, if that makes any sense. And I got pretty upset of when my teammates would take a beating. And I used to hate it when Brian McCabe would get attacked. He was the best teammate, one of the best teammates I've ever had, a great player. And why he was getting attacked in the media was beyond me. And, you know, there's a lot of other guys like that as well that I really wanted to defend. So I looked at it as more like, I'll take the heat. I don't really care. I'm big and slow, and it's easy to make fun of me. So I figured I'd just take it. And that was a lot more fun for me anyway.
You did a great job. Hal, thanks for doing this. What does your day look like today? Like, what, are you just staring out the window? What are you going to do?
Trying to figure out. Like, I have my kids have spring break. I have nothing to do. I don't know. This is going to be a good one.
Yeah,
this is. Once I figure it out, that was my morning plan. But then I started talking to you guys.
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll call you again over the next, like, month, 2 months, and we'll just talk. We'll just shoot it. All right, Hal?
I have time.
All right.
Okay. Good. We'll talk to you again soon. Next
really
time,
Raycross
Stories.
Much planned. Just, see you, man. There you go. We'll get on that.